You're listening to the Building Psychological Strength Podcast, Professional Edition. My name is April Seifert. Not only am I a doctoral level psychologist, but I've been a successful entrepreneur for a number of years and have learned firsthand that building psychological strength can have a direct impact on your professional success. In this Friday edition of the podcast, I'll offer you tools, tips, tricks, and information to help you become stronger, more resilient, and more successful. Let's get to it. Albert Einstein famously said, "Creativity is intelligence having fun." Oh my gosh, I love that quote so much. Happy Friday, friends. Thank you for joining me this week. Thanks for joining me for an awesome month. P.S. We are putting a pin in. I'm going to forecast it. I'm recording this episode ahead of time. I'm looking at my numbers this month. I'm going to forecast it. I'm calling it right now. The biggest month we've ever had on the podcast. Cheers. Oh my gosh. Pop the champagne. What a great month. Thank you so much if you joined me for even a single episode. Even if this is your first episode, hi. Thank you so much for being here. You have no idea what each and every download on this episode or on this podcast means and how happy I am as we close out this fabulous month. On that note, as today's quote mentioned, we're going to be talking about creativity today. And here's what's interesting. When you talk to people, one thing that I hear more than anything else is, "Oh, I wish I could be more creative," or "I'm just not a creative person." As though creativity is only predetermined. As though creativity is about as changeable as your eye color. And what's interesting about it is that so many times we approach creativity in the wrong way. We think, oh gosh, I'm either creative or I'm not. And if I feel like I'm not, which P.S., that's the way the majority of people feel. They feel like they aren't. And if I'm not, there's nothing that I can do about it. And that's just not true. That's why I'm recording today's episode. I want to give you some tips and tricks to help you become more creative, because think about what an asset that is in your job. How many times do you have to come up with a new solution, solve a problem, identify a need in your market, and figure out the way that your company or product or service or department or role or team or whatever it is going to help? Creativity comes into play in nearly every aspect of our careers. So having a set of skills and abilities that help us foster creativity, spark creativity, and just be more creative is such a valuable thing to have. And not only that, much like everything else that we talk about on the podcast, the more you practice, the more you do these things, the better at it you get. You start to flex that muscle that just thinks in a different way. But you don't have to do it just out of nowhere on your own. So like I said, I'm recording this episode to give you some ways to spark and foster creativity in yourself so that you can get started and you have a place to come back to when you need to develop a new solution and be creative in your job. So we're going to dive right in. I'm going to give you a laundry list of ways that you can spark creativity. And the first one that I'm going to start with is something called anchoring. Now, in psychology or psychologically speaking, anchoring is when we are presented a set of information and our mind sort of fixates on that information and only jumps off from the starting point of that information we were given. So this comes into play a lot in pricing. We tend to see, McDonald's does it with their small, medium, and large French fries, right? The small is really tiny. The medium is much larger than that. The large is much larger than that for not that much more of a price, right? So the small one is like way too small. We don't want that. The medium one is getting close to the size of amount of fries that we want. And we look at the price of that. We anchor on that medium sized price. And then we look at the large fry and we're like, oh, it's only like 15 cents more. Why don't I get that one? because we're anchored on that medium-sized price. This can come into play in creativity in a couple of ways. So one, let's say that you're in a group brainstorm and everybody's throwing out ideas, everybody's coming up with solutions and trying to contribute to whatever problem is you're trying to solve or whatever thing you're trying to come up with, whatever it is. You might be the type of person who anchors really hard on other people's ideas. I'm this person. So for example, when I'm working on a difficult problem at work or with a client or in a large group setting, I will anchor on what other people bring up, and it's really hard for me to think of ideas outside of the realm of what that other person just said. I anchor hard, and my mind, like the orbit that my mind is able to, you know, take part in is really narrow and narrowly constrained on that initial idea or that information that other person put out. So if that happens to you, one thing I would suggest is prior to the group brainstorm, prior to taking in anybody else's information, prior to doing even like a market scan where you see what other competitor companies or whatever, prior to looking at any of that, sit with a white sheet of paper and get your initial set of ideas out first. Because what you might find is that you think more creatively when your mind has not been anchored by what someone else has said first. Now, this may or may not work for you, so I'm going to give you a whole bunch of things. So just in the vein of, you know, psychological strength and life design, know thyself and know which one of these resonates with you most. So maybe that one did, maybe it didn't. But if it does, if you're a person who anchors hard like I do, start with a white sheet of paper, get your initial ideas down first, and you might find that they are more creative in a broader scope if you aren't anchoring hard on what somebody else has said. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, kind of the opposite of that, sometimes we have a hard time with a white sheet of paper. You've heard of things like writer's block, right? People open up their screen or their computer to start writing, or they grab their notebook to start writing, and that white sheet of paper is paralyzing because there's nothing to go on. Oh, it's so hard, right? So if that is something that you struggle with, if it's more of the paralysis of how do I get going, this is almost the opposite problem that you have when you anchor hard. If that white sheet of paper is, instead of liberating, it is paralyzing, consider boxing yourself in. Now, even if you do, as I mentioned in the first tip, anchor hard on what other people say, you can start with a white sheet of paper and almost give yourself some prompts. So by boxing yourself in, I mean, let's say you're trying to solve a really big problem at work and you're like, wow, this is huge. I am having a hard time even wrapping my head around it. I've got this, you know, obnoxious white sheet of paper. I have no idea where to start. This is too big. Like, I'm overwhelmed. You can start by boxing yourself in and saying, okay, how would I solve this problem for this specific type of person? Or what would this look like? How would I get, like, what's the first step that somebody should take in this problem? How would they get started? Or how would this problem look for a particular scenario or in a particular use case? Do you see what I'm doing here? I'm taking that big, hairy, scary problem or that big, hairy, scary space that we are trying to design inside of, and I'm boxing it in to make it smaller. I'm saying, nope, right now, for this exercise that I'm in just in this moment, I'm going to draw a small box and I'm going to work creatively inside that small box. Sometimes it's less overwhelming, it's more approachable, and we can in fact be more creative if we box ourselves in and give ourselves some boundaries inside the problem that we're working on. So anchoring was number one, boxing yourself in is number two. Number three is one that I call opposites attract. Let's say you're trying to solve a problem. Like, how do we get people to come back and buy our product again? How do I get people to sign up for that newsletter? How do I get people to click on this box? How do I get people to call me in this particular situation? Whatever it is you're trying to design for, whatever it is you're trying to be creative around, one way sometimes to come up with interesting solutions to the problem is to think about how you would get people to do the opposite of what you're trying to get them to do. How would you actually repel people from your newsletter? How would you get them to not want to sign up for it? Or even like leave your email list? How would you get them to do that? How would you get people to never again renew with your company or not come back to your company and in fact go to a competitor to buy their product? What you might find out is like, well, I could get people to not sign up for my email newsletter if I never tell them about it. Like, I never make it known. It's nowhere on my website. Oh, wait, I need to make it known to them. I need to make it more obvious on my website. People are distracted. I need to tell them more often. Do you see what's happening? So like, you can uncover sometimes the fundamental principles of whatever it is you're designing by trying to think about how would you get people to do the opposite? And in doing that, you figure out, oh my gosh, this is a communication problem. Or wow, this is a, you know, positioning problem, or it's a user experience problem, whatever it happens to be. But you can get there by thinking about how you would get people to do the opposite. So far we've got anchoring, we've got box yourself in, and we've got opposites attract. The next one is called analog. How can you find an analog or similar situation that is outside the context that you work in? Maybe you look for, I don't know, how do people in other industries that have nothing to do with my industry, how do they solve this problem? I loved doing this back in the day when I did a ton of healthcare consulting, and we were always looking for ways to like engage people in their health. I'm like, how do people outside of this, how do they do it? Or how do the companies that are essentially our competitors, you know, junk food companies and soda companies and et cetera, how do they do it? What can we learn from them? Exactly what's their messaging? And by that, I don't mean like read the words. I mean, what human value are they hitting on underneath there? What need and drive are they cueing off of in that messaging? So find in this notion of analog, if you're using this idea, it's take an example of a similar problem that you're working on or a similar situation and look at other industries, competitor companies, just completely outside. You can look at nature. How does nature cyclically handle droughts, for example? It sounds crazy, but the more you prompt your brain, essentially what you're trying to do with a lot of these that I'm talking about is you're nudging your brain to kind of poke off in a different direction because you're trying to get outside of the paralysis that you might be feeling from just sort of sitting still in your typical set of thought patterns. So analogs. And then the last one that I'm going to talk about is go for volume. You can use this one in connection with all of these other techniques, any or all of them. But whatever it is, and maybe you need to do this on your own, maybe you do this in a group setting. Again, know thyself, know what works best for you. But take the problem, define it in front of you, think how you can clearly articulate what it is you're trying to be creative about. Why are you being creative? What are you solving for? What issue? Whatever it is. And then set a timer. Set a timer for 20 minutes and don't stop writing. Write down the dumbest ideas that come to mind. Write down the craziest things. You may do this in the form of a mind map where you start to create sort of a web of ideas that branches off one another and makes connections between ideas if that's how you think. The point is you're going for volume because what you find is that you start to exhaust some of the initial ideas that come to mind and your mind starts to search like, oh my gosh, and it's grasping. And some really cool things can come of that. Sometimes your 40th idea is the one that ends up being the most creative. I'm going to give you an example of a time that I did this. When I was getting ready to do my TEDx talk, I was writing out, you know, the content of the talk, and it was, completely anxiety provoking. It was really scary. And I wanted to come up with, you know, they say this is supposed to be the talk of your life. Like, this is supposed to be the talk of all talks. No pressure. Make this the best one you've ever given. And P.S., it has to have a really great title because you want people to click on it and you want people to want to listen to it. That was a tall order. I was freaking out. But what got to be really cool is that I sat down on a plane and I'm like, okay, I have 20 minutes left in this flight. For the next 20 minutes, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write down all the titles I can possibly think of. I'm just going to keep writing. And after that 20 minutes, I had a giant piece of paper of terrible titles and a few really creative ones. I started putting them together. I started experimenting with different options with those good ones. And I ultimately came up with the title of my talk, Mind Over Dark Matter. Dark matter is a cue toward, you know, dark matter in the universe, mind over matter, right? Using that traditional saying that we say, mind over dark matter, a guide to uncovering your true potential. That was one of the most creative things I've ever done. And it came from me sitting down and going for volume on a plane, setting a timer and not allowing myself to stop writing. So those are a set of techniques. Again, anchoring, box yourself in, opposites attract, analog, and volume. Go for volume. Those five are five different ways that you can spark creativity in your work. And the last one I'm going to talk about is not like, it's not like a necessarily a way to spark creativity, but it's a way to foster creativity. Think of this as like we just talked about the cake. Now I want you to lay a nice layer of icing on it, or maybe some decorations on that cake. The icing slash decorations on the cake is spaciousness. Can you create a sense of psychological spaciousness to allow your mind to work? It's really hard to be creative under a deadline. It's really hard to be creative when you're like, forcing it to happen. Can you cultivate some spaciousness while you're using some of these other techniques? And I'm sure you're like, okay, cool, April, how the heck do I do that? That seems ridiculous and hard. And thanks for the crazy tip that we can't implement. One way of doing that is to literally give yourself permission during this time. So in that 20 minutes, how often do you sit down with a blank sheet of paper? Now we're talking about anchoring and volume, right? How often do you sit down with a blank sheet of paper and give yourself permission to come up with 50 terrible ideas? 50 awful ideas. How many times do you give yourself permission to come up with the opposite scenario of what you're looking for? The permission to actually fully use these techniques is psychologically given, and it's psychological space that we're after. Permission to be creative. Psychological space. So make it spacious. I really hope this episode was helpful for you. Thank you so much for joining me for this professional edition of the Building Psych Strength podcast. If you're an entrepreneur or a business professional and you're interested in becoming more successful, hit the subscribe button. And until next week, be strong, be resilient, and friends, be successful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.